Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty present the Underdog Podcast.
Sunbelt Nation, welcome in to another edition of the Underdog Dynasty Sunbelt Podcast. My name is Matt Miguez, and I am the Underdog Louisiana writer, being joined this week by Mr. Brian Stone, our Georgia Southern writer. Brian, you've got some big news to discuss today, and we'll do that off the top. Georgia Southern has hired former USC head coach Clay Helton to lead their football team. Details of the contract: 5 years with a salary of about $800,000 a year. Pretty impressive for a G5 contract. What are your thoughts on the hire, and how does this help the Eagles?
Well, the contract, I mean, I think is obviously helped by the fact that USC is still paying him like through the nose for the next, what, 2-3 seasons or something like that. I don't know how long he had left on his deal. I don't know. I guess I would say I was whelmed by the news. Like, I wasn't like overwhelmed and I wasn't underwhelmed. I was just kind of like, huh, because I said this to you before we started recording. I mean, if you had asked me 6 weeks ago, do you want Clay Helton to be your next head coach? I'd go, probably not. Like, I'm not saying we could do better, but like,
right. Like, he's not the name that jumps off the list at you,
but he's also a guy who is just canned, you know? It's like, it's not like you grabbed an up and coming.
You're getting somebody's damaged goods.
Yeah. And even though it's USC's damaged goods, I mean, like, the knock on him that I have so far is like, I went and read what USC fans think of Clay Helton, and they're still dunking on him like today.
Right.
And are like, why are they were on the tweet that was announcing Clay Helton to Georgia Southern going, why are Georgia Southern fans happy about this? And it was like, damn, you guys have a real axe to grind.
I get that perspective, but at the same time, you know, USC's expectations just due to their history are so through the roof that I feel like it's going to be one of those scenarios that, yeah, Clay Helton didn't work out at USC, but he's going to come to a smaller school like Georgia Southern and have success.
Well, I mean, we'll see, because you know, like, Arkansas State hired Butch Jones, who's a bit of a retread.
It's year one.
But, like, it's a real bad year one.
That's true.
they have the worst defense in the country.
you were not wrong. That is true.
So, I pulled up I was on the college football subreddit today on the thread where they were discussing it, and this is what a USC fan said. The dude was never more than a position coach. When our idiot AD made him the head coach for Blue Blood, he did okay when he had Sarkisian's five-star recruits to cover for his lack of coaching. But once all those guys were gone, he had no clue what to do. He refused to hire quality assistants in fear of them stealing his job out from under him. The new AD came in and hired the assistants for Helton. And then he was clueless when it came to recruiting, tried to get the highest ranked players regardless of position. They had a JV sized offensive and defensive line. They had four scholarship kickers at one point because he just wanted best player regardless of position. So I understand they have an axe to grind, that fan base, but that's kind of the reason why, you know, if it was one of those where it was like, if we were hiring Tom Herman, let's say, and Tom Herman, I had seen build a G5 program into a ranked G5 program at Houston, I would be like, okay, like, I understand it. I understand why he's out at Texas. I get all of that. But with Helton, it seems like a different deal. It's almost like he's Chad Lunsford, but like on a way bigger scale. And like, I understand he had more success at USC than Chad Lunsford had here, but he also could sell USC. Whereas right. selling it's, Georgia Southern is a different ball game. Yeah.
All you have to do is show him the room with national championship trophies and say, hey, you want one of those?
Meet our AD, Lynn Swan, one of the most like accomplished players ever to play here.
Right. You ever seen the Immaculate Reception?
Yeah.
That guy. But you know,
well, he was on it. He was on one end of it. Franco Harris was on the other end of it. But yeah.
Well, yeah. But and you know, another thing that I want to cover before we move on to recapping the Sun Belt is we're coming at you here on Tuesday, November the 2nd. Tonight, the first college football playoff rankings came out. And we're going to go through the entire top 25. I'm going to read them out to you. And Brian, you tell me if you agree or disagree. 25, Pitt.
Sure.
24, San Diego State.
I don't know anything about San Diego State, so sure.
23, Fresno State.
Okay.
22, Iowa.
I don't even know if I would have them ranked at this point.
21, Wisconsin.
I wouldn't probably have them ranked either.
20, Minnesota.
Okay.
You notice how in that five, there was not a Sun Belt school.
Right.
Okay. 19, NC State.
Okay.
Followed by Kentucky. Followed by Mississippi State.
Kentucky seems low.
Yeah.
I mean, forgive me if I'm wrong. I didn't keep up with... Did they lose last weekend?
I don't know.
Because if not, their only loss is to Georgia.
Yeah, I'm really not sure. I didn't keep up with the SEC. So Kentucky, Mississippi State, then Ole Miss. Okay.
Yeah.
And BYU.
Yeah.
A&M at 14.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn. Baylor.
Okay.
Oklahoma State.
All right.
Notre Dame.
Ugh.
Wake Forest at 9.
Yeah, I figured that.
Oklahoma at 8.
Yeah.
Michigan at 7.
All right.
Cincinnati at 6.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous.
How are you the number 2 team in the AP poll, but the number 6 team in the playoff poll?
Because they don't want a G5 team in the playoff.
It gets better. 5th, Ohio State.
All right.
4th, Oregon.
All right.
3rd, Michigan State.
I can't argue with that.
I can't argue with that either.
Yeah.
This is my argument. Number 2, Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have Michigan State above Alabama. But that's splitting hairs.
Right. I mean, it's total. This is a perfect example of P5 G5 bias. I mean, what did Bama get up to in the AP poll this week? What were they, 9?
I don't know.
I'm gonna pull it up. They had fallen. They were 3rd in the AP poll. That's a joke.
Yeah.
They were 12 after they lost to A&M. That's a joke. This whole system is just the most mind-boggling thing that I have ever seen. Somebody brought it up to me the other day, and I thought it was a hell of an idea. You need to go back to a BCS-like system with a playoff picture. Dude, you got to take human bias out of it.
Yeah.
Have to.
Because, I mean, money is always in the back of those people's minds. Like, they can say whatever they want. Field results, whatever.
Say what you want about Notre Dame. You know, whether you feel like they're overrated or what. But an undefeated Cincinnati team who has a big win over Notre Dame should not be 6th.
No.
In any form or fashion, that should not be the 6th ranked team in America with 1, 2.
Who did you say was 5?
Ohio State.
Yeah, see, you got to bump Oregon and Ohio State down.
Aren't they a one-loss team?
Yeah, Oregon and Ohio State.
They both lost, right?
Yeah.
Alabama has a loss as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think Cincinnati should be four.
You see, I'd put Cincinnati at third. It should be Georgia, Michigan State, Cincinnati. And then you figure out where you want to put everybody else.
Yeah, and then I think, yeah, you're right. And then Oregon, I guess, would be
right.
Four.
And then Bama 5, Ohio State 6.
Whatever.
However you want to do it from there. The fact of the matter is that an undefeated Cincinnati team should not be out of the top 5.
I mean, until a couple of these teams, and they may not, so it's probably going to end up screwing Cincinnati once it's all said and done. Unless one of these teams drop, you know, several of these teams drop a second game, I guess it's like Cincinnati's got to hope that Georgia runs the table, beats Alabama in the SEC championship game, hands them their second loss, they're out of it. I don't know what you would do as far as Oregon goes and Ohio State. Those two teams might not lose again.
Right.
But to put them ahead of Cincinnati is kind of ridiculous.
Right. And then, you know, like you said, Cincinnati has to hope that these teams lose a second game. They shouldn't have to.
No, I agree.
That it's just, it's a total example of P5, G5 bias. And until you get that bias factor out of it, it's never going to change.
No, I 100% agree. I mean, this year is the best case that we've ever had in the time that the playoffs been around to put a G5 team at four. Now, listen, I think what they're doing is honestly kind of stupid, because if they really wanted to rub it in the G5's face, right, what you do is you put Cincinnati 4 and you leave them at 4 and you have them play the number one team in the country the first round of the playoff. And if they get waxed, you can always point back and go, see, that's why we don't do it. At least you gave them a shot. But to just keep straight up like telling lies to people and being like, Well, we think blah, blah, blah. We think an Oregon team that lost to Stanford is better than this undefeated Cincinnati team. It's like,
right.
But like, the only way that you're quantifying that is by your own numbers that you're coming. Like the fact that Oregon beat Ohio State, you just stuck Ohio State at like 6 or whatever. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the only reason that's impressive is because that's where you put them.
Yeah, dude.
So it's like, it's just like a feedback loop. Like we think Oregon should be ahead of Cincinnati because they beat Ohio State. Well, Ohio State was ranked high because you guys put them their preseason poll.
Right.
So it like never ends. Like it's like that snake that keeps feeding on its own tail and it never ends.
Yeah, dude, it's insane.
But the one thing I will say is some of the teams that are up top will work itself out, because you can't have Michigan State and Ohio State both win the Big Ten. One of those teams is going to win it. So you have to assume, like, say if Michigan State upsets them and wins the Big Ten, right, like Ohio State's done. Bama plays Georgia, unless Bama beats Georgia, Bama's out. So it's like there's two down right there. Oregon's probably going to pull an Oregon and lose another game to like Arizona State that they have no business losing, because they always do it. So yep. It's like it's going to happen.
So you still think that if Cincinnati can win out, that they could be in the playoff?
Well, yeah, and I think that's with the caveat that these teams don't all split. So like Alabama has one loss. If they go to the SEC title game and they beat Georgia and both of those teams have one loss, they're probably both getting in.
They're both in. They are.
Yeah. But I think that whoever wins the Big Ten, the other team is out, whether it be Michigan State or Ohio State, because aren't they in the same side of the conference? Because I think the West or whatever is super weak from what I remember. Like the West is like Minnesota and Wisconsin, I think. And then the East side is like Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State.
Yeah. Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, Maryland, Penn State.
Right. So you can't have both of those teams go. Like right. They have to play each other. whoever loses is out because you can't win your conference. So problem solved there.
And then on the other side, you have Minnesota, Wisconsin, Purdue, Iowa.
Ugh.
Would be your big names.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
best case scenario, Ohio State beats Michigan State when they go head to head. And then whoever ends up going from the West upsets Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. That's best case scenario for the G5.
Right.
I don't see it happening, but that's the best thing that could possibly come out of it.
Yep. Let's go over, get some Sunbelt games from last week. And we will start with the Thursday night game from last week, Coastal Carolina and Troy. Coastal Carolina was able to survive that one 35-28. Grayson McCall, I know we say it, he was great again, 14-26, 294 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. Shamari Jones, 14 carries for 95 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kevani Vidal, 22 carries, 142 yards and a touchdown. 142 yards. That's a solid game in a losing effort.
Against Coastal.
Right.
Who's like one of the better defenses. I mean, they did the same thing with Troy last year. Like, Troy had them dead to rights, and it took like a late mm-hmm. touchdown drive. Sure now, I will say what killed Troy in this game was Chip Lindsey's decision making on fourth down, because they had multiple fourth and ones where they could have just gone for it
yep.
and actually tried to win the game, and they punted it away. And I don't know if you're aware of this. For NFL games, there's a Twitter bot called SurrenderBot where they track win probability based on punts. And I would have loved to have seen like the win probability go straight in the toilet, like as soon as they decided to punt on fourth and one multiple times.
Yeah, that's just, you're never going to win if you don't take big risk like that.
I mean, especially against a team that you're not
right.
you're an supposed underdog to be against.
Right.
Yeah. But right. but the last couple of years, I mean, Troy has given Coastal like a run for their money. Now they can't close the deal. But I mean, Coastal last 2 weeks, not great.
No, not great at all.
I mean, they're going to smack Georgia Southern, but the last couple of weeks, like when they've played like actual good teams or like middle to good teams, they've not looked great.
No.
And think that they have to win out and hope that someone beats App to make it. And they can't just like,
right.
you know, rest on their laurels.
And that's just to make the title game.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to win out. App would have to lose one. And then Louisiana would have to lose one for them to host.
Oh, I don't think they're worried about it. I think they just want to make it.
Well, right now, for sure. For sure.
Beggars can't be choosy.
Because as it stands right now, a one-loss Coastal team, a one-conference-loss Coastal team, and a one-conference-loss Louisiana team, Coastal's hosting because they're higher ranked in the AP.
Yeah.
But don't even get me started on that.
I mean, so going back to this game, Gunnar Watson had a pretty good game too. 225, 3 touchdowns. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what's up with Coastal the last couple weeks. But they're not going to have too many more games this season where a team that has them on the ropes is just going to decide to hand them the game and go, here you go. Take right. it back. We'll punt on fourth and one and just hope that our defense stops you.
Every other team they play the rest of the way.
Yeah.
If they've got them on the ropes, they're going to finish the deal.
Or at least try to. Like, they're not going to just pack it in and park the bus.
You see, that's one thing that I'll give credit to Georgia Southern to. Most cases, if you guys have a team on the ropes, y'all find a way to get it done.
Well, that's not always the case, especially not this year.
In most cases.
Yeah.
And especially of years past.
Yeah, I mean, when they had Wirtz as quarterback, for sure. I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's like our scheme the last couple of years, you know, we run the ball like 90% of the time.
Right.
But that's the thing is like, what do you do when you're trying to run the clock out? You run the football. Right. But it's like, if Southern's already doing that and you can't stop it, and they're just trying to get out of there, yeah, it's probably going to break like for a big play here or there. And that's what's going to like put the lights out. Yeah. So, yeah. But then, I don't know what's going on with Coastal. They need to figure it out because it's going to be rough going.
They're not as good as people thought they were.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, what's their best win this year? Buffalo?
Yeah. And they should have lost it.
Yeah.
They should have lost it. Buffalo threw a pick in the fourth quarter. And I say that
full well knowing they're going to crack Georgia Southern this weekend.
Right.
But on the Buffalo, other hand, as far as the grand scheme of the Sun Belt goes, yeah.
Buffalo was marching down the field late in the fourth quarter to take the lead on Coastal, and Buffalo threw a pick. Buffalo doesn't throw that pick, goes in, scores the touchdown. Buffalo probably wins that game, and Coastal's an afterthought.
So, yeah, so it's like they've had two games where they should have easily lost, and then they had one game where, I mean, bullied them right in the second half. So right, it's like
they could be a three-loss team right now. They haven't played anybody. Do you understand? It's the easiest schedule in America, and they could. They're that close to being a three-loss team.
I was honestly kind of shocked by how easy their schedule was.
It's
looking at it,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy how easy it is. Four games this past Saturday, App State dismantles Monroe. 59-28. I mean, Chase Bryce just put his foot on the neck of ULM's defense and never let up.
Yeah. I mean,
20 of 30, 256 yards, 4 TDs.
This is the difference between the tiers of the Sun Belt, where it's like the you know, we just talked about them, but the Coastal, the Louisiana, the App are going to do this to most of the time to these teams like ULM. It's like, you guys have done some nice things. You've reeled off a couple of wins. Now it's time to bring you back down to earth and let you know that you're not actually like, you're not on the level with these guys. So you may have had a nice season.
Did Chandler Rogers get hurt?
I think he did.
Because he did not play.
He threw 5 passes for 3 yards and a pick.
Okay, so yeah, he must have got hurt.
Yeah. They had someone named
Jaya Wright.
Yeah.
Jaya Wright.
It was not good, but could run a little bit. I mean, he had 91 yards and a touchdown. Nate Noel had a good game.
Dominated.
132-1. Cameron Peoples. These stats are kind of mind-boggling. Like, App had 521 yards of offense. They forced 5 ULM turnovers. They had 0 themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, the game was essentially, let's see, it was over by the 10:30 mark of the second quarter because it was 28-0.
Right.
So, I mean, like I said, this is the, you know, we were impressed with what ULM and Tommy Bowden had been doing the last couple weeks. You know, they had really stepped up and kind of surprised us with a couple of good wins. And this is where you get taken back down a peg.
Right. App State's ridiculously good. Real quickly, not much to talk about in this game. South Alabama runs all over Arkansas State. Jake Bentley, 4 touchdown passes in the first half. And on the other side for quarterback play, South Alabama's defense made Lane Hatcher look silly.
Yeah.
19 of 37, 186 yards, no touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Well, South Alabama's got a really good defense.
They do.
I mean,
they do.
Didn't they just lost ULM last week, right?
Yes.
Which is shocking that they gave up 41 to ULM.
The fun belt, bro.
But yeah, I mean, this isn't that surprising to me. Arkansas State, no. I've said it week in and week out, worst defense in the country. Statistically, I think still are. Gave up 424 total yards to South Alabama. Jalen Tolbert had 2 touchdown receptions in the first, within 5 minutes of one another in the first quarter. They were up 28-0 with 6:21 left.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for a kickoff returned for a touchdown by Arkansas State, this would have been a 31-6 game.
Mm-hmm.
That was their only touchdown.
Yep.
That was their only touchdown.
Yep.
Louisiana.
They finally covered. They finally covered the spread.
We did. 45-0 on homecoming. God, just a dominating performance.
Maybe you guys should play more games at 10:45 in the morning.
Dude, you know what?
Or whatever it was.
I'm going to say this. Kickoff was at 11, and I was not happy about it.
Yeah.
They rolled the homecoming parade at 8 a.m.
Ugh.
Dude, I'm going to give some props to Cajun Nation. Because they showed up. Dude, 29,000 people were at Cajun Field Saturday morning. Just imagine if that would have been a 4 o'clock game like homecoming normally is.
Yeah.
That'd have been 35,000 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 29,000, it was the 14th largest crowd in school history. And it was... So, Cajun fans are calling it the largest crowd in the Billy Napier era, because the only one larger was his very first game when we played Grambling State from North Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
There were 80 more people in that crowd, but like 5,000 of those people were Grambling fans.
Right.
Texas State brought about 200.
Uh-huh.
So, in terms of Cajun fans, it was the largest crowd in the Billy Napier era. So, yeah, dude, Saturday was some of the most fun I've had at a Cajun game in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, Levi Lewis set what the program record, 65th career passing touchdown in this game.
Yeah.
You know, this was, you know, we talked about bad Levi Lewis last week. This is good Levi Lewis. You know, 228 yards, three scores, only what, 10 incomplete passes, like out of 32 attempts.
Pretty good. He was efficient. He did more than what was expected of him, more than likely. But not looking at the stat line, just watching the game, I mean, he still, I'm not knocking Levi here. I mean, every quarterback does this. But he's missing receivers on easy crossing routes. He's throwing balls behind him. I mean, dude, there was one play we ran a guy just on a simple slant route. Quick slant. If he hits him in stride, dude, that receiver's walking into the end zone.
Yeah.
Throws it behind him.
Mm. I mean, it happens.
Yeah, it happens. But, man, dude, a fifth-year senior... Third full season starting, you gotta at least hit you guys.
I don't know, man. I've seen Patrick Mahomes do that this year, so I can't knock a college player.
Good Lord.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah,
and go ahead. Maybe you can provide some context for this. So I'm looking at the scoring log for this game. When you guys scored a touchdown in the third quarter to go up 26-0. Why did you go for two?
Which touchdown was this?
The third quarter. Jalen Williams had a 3-yard. You went for two up 26. Were you trying to cover the spread?
No. You were trying to make it an even 28-point game.
What does it matter at that point? Up four touchdowns. What does it matter if it's 27 or 28?
Hey, dude, there's a method to the madness. I don't know.
I feel like Napier was like, what's the spread on this one? Okay.
I mean,
I need to make sure we cover.
I mean, the spread was 21, so the spread was already covered at that point.
Maybe he just wanted to be like, if Texas State scores, we push.
And you know, the funny thing is, that's the touchdown pass that broke the record for Levi.
Yeah.
Yeah, now Levi can say he threw more college touchdown passes than a longtime NFL quarterback. I mean.
Who was it, Doug Peterson?
Jake DeLome. Yeah, Jake DeLome.
Yeah, gotcha.
And then the last game, the Battle of Georgia. State over Southern 21-14. You know, Brian, I'm looking at the well, I would say I would be looking at the scoring summary, but I don't see one. Oh, there it is. You guys had a Logan Wright touchdown with a minute and 39 to tie the game. What happened?
They just let Georgia State walk down the field on them. I mean, it was one of, if you go back, I can send you, there's a guy on YouTube that uploads all of our games. If you want to watch the last drive, I can send you the link to it. They literally,
do I want to?
It's the easiest drive you'll ever see. I mean, seriously, like it was like they were like walking the dog down the field, and it was just no. So I'm going to go ahead and put this out there. Clay Helton, new Georgia Southern head coach. If Justin Tomlin is named the starter next year and starts more than two games, I am opting out of the 2022 college football season. I can't watch this guy play another year of quarterback, my guy. I just can't.
My guy.
He threw his first career touchdown pass in the second quarter. He's a junior. Keep that in mind. The next drive or the drive after, they're driving again. They get all the way in the red zone. He throws a ball into double coverage. It gets picked off. They didn't get near the red zone until 1:39 left in the fourth quarter when Logan Wright cashed it in. It's just bad.
It's really bad. It's a bad time to be in Statesboro, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bad time to be in
Statesboro. And this will show, what Helton's made out of.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think that's a big reason why he took a job like this. This will prove to the rest of the country what he's got.
Yeah.
If he turns Georgia Southern around, he's going to be a name for other high-quality jobs.
Yeah. So this kind of loops back into what we were talking about. I have heard rumblings that they're looking at Western Kentucky's co-offensive coordinator for their offensive coordinator. Okay. I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head.
But he
coaches under Tyson Helton, who is the head coach at Western Kentucky.
Is that Clay's son or brother?
I think it's his brother.
Brother. Okay. I was about to say Clay's kind of young.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Co-offensive coordinator at Western, offensive coordinator at Georgia Southern. Is that an upgrade?
Well, I think it's just like he goes from co-offensive coordinator
to offensive coordinator. Yeah.
The guy's name is Brian Ellis. He's the co-offensive coordinator / inside receivers coach is what it says. The one thing I'll say is I do think it's an upgrade because you get to be the guy calling plays, because I guarantee Hilton's not doing it. But I mean, Western Kentucky, I looked it up, is averaging 41 points a game on offense this year. So it's not the worst idea in the world.
Right.
I mean, and clearly, like, if Tyson Helton, his brother, thinks the guy's legit, he's probably recommending him for the job.
Right.
So
yeah, I guess what I was just wondering is the Western Kentucky to Georgia Southern kind of seems like a lateral move to me. But I get your point. The co-offensive coordinator being the guy, I think that would make.
I mean, Scott Sloan, before he became our defensive coordinator, was the co-DC at App.
Yeah.
And took the job at Southern because he is the defensive coordinator. Right. There's no co.
That makes sense. So definitely interesting if that hire could be pulled off. Because, I mean, Western Kentucky's had a decent offense for a few years now.
So I want to add something more about this game on the Georgia State side. They obviously did enough to win. Congrats. You beat a really bad Georgia Southern team. You know, credit where credit's due. Darren Granger in the first half was awful. Absolutely awful.
Darren, if you're listening, can you be awful again on Thursday, please?
He... the only reason they didn't score more points is because he could not hit his receivers right. until the second half started. He does not feel pressure like in the pocket, like he doesn't sense it. So it's like, you've watched a ton of Drew Brees. Yeah. Let's say, you know, like, okay, Drew Brees is one big, great thing in the pocket was when he feels the pocket closing, he steps up into it and makes a throw. There was none of that from Granger. There were multiple times where an offensive lineman is getting shoved back into him and he tries to throw it over the guy's shoulder as he's getting shoved into his face.
God, that's awful.
I'm saying like, I know there, it was so bad in the first half. I checked their school Twitter account when they were Georgia State was tweeting out the score. People were wanting Quad Brown to come back in.
Right. Who they is now like, entering the transfer portal.
Right. And they were like, I think we've been too harsh on Quad.
They were way too harsh on Quad. Quad should have been the starter this year.
Well, he was. And then he wasn't because they started so bad, but like their schedule sucked.
Right.
He wasn't going to beat like Army and Auburn and North Carolina all these other schools.
And
yeah, he wasn't beating North Carolina. Right. Or who do they? Who else did they play early? Like at, they played
it was,
like
it was Army
or Coastal.
It was Army, North Carolina,
Charlotte. Their one win. Auburn.
That was their first four, and then I think they went straight to, let's see, week five they had App. Yeah.
So, I mean, but I'm just telling you, like, that was what I saw. I know Granger was a transfer from Furman, but as long as he's their quarterback, they're going to be a middling Sun Belt school.
That's fine. Because speaking of Georgia State, five games in the Sun Belt this week, and we'll start Thursday night, Georgia State, Louisiana, from Cajun Field, 6:30 on ESPN. Cajun's minus 12.
Give me the minus 12.
Yeah.
I don't see a world from what I saw from Georgia State. You can say whatever you want, make any excuses you want. They only scored 21 points against like one of the worst passing defenses in the country last week. No, sorry. The worst passing defense in the country last week. So I don't think they're not going to probably score three touchdowns against you guys.
I hope you're right. I'm nervous about this game.
I could see this being 31-14.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. But then, you know, in Lafayette, we call it CDS, Cajun Disaster Syndrome. Every now and again, we just find a way to bring, you know, like 2007 back where we lose to McNeese at home.
Yeah.
And just, or, you know, perfect example was Nichols. Dude, if it's not for a pick six, we lost to Nichols.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
we're always worried that something like that's going to happen.
Well, just think, it could be worse. You could be a Georgia Southern fan and have to endure a two-win season every 4 years.
That's true. Four games on Saturday. We'll start App State, Arkansas State.
App State's going to tear their face off.
I don't even know where it's being played. It's in Jonesboro.
At 21 points.
At minus 21.
Give me the 21s. Yeah. App's going to tear their face off.
ULM, Texas State. Texas State's homecoming. So it's in San Marcos. Texas State minus 3.5.
So I'm going to take UL Monroe.
Take the Warhawks.
Plus 3.5.
Yep.
I wanted to run this by you.
Okay.
What do you think about future Texas State coach Gary Patterson?
You know, you are not the first person to talk about that.
Yeah.
You're not the first person that's asked me about that.
Yes.
If I could be 100% honest, I think that'd be a great hire for Texas State, but at the same time, And you might think I'm crazy for this, I don't think they've given Jake Spavadal a fair shake.
No, I feel like they have.
I don't think that their university has put in the resources needed to run a successful FBS football program. And the reason that I say that is, I don't know if you saw this, but shortly after we demolished them, their AD wrote a letter to fans talking about how disappointed he is in the performance and blah, 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 and how they must be better and how starting now they're going to invest all kinds of money into the football budget and blah, 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 and they're going to turn this team around. And like, dude, I don't think they've given Spavital the resources he needs.
I don't know. I just, if Gary Patterson, if the AD at Texas State reaches out to Gary Patterson and
Gary Patterson wants, yeah, of course,
even has like a modicum of interest, I think you got to cut Spavital loose.
And I agree with you. If Gary Patterson wants the job, you hire Gary Patterson.
Can I? And let's say Patterson gets hired. If you hopped in a time machine and went back 5 years, or if I hopped in a time machine and went back 5 years, and I told you Clay Helton at Georgia Southern is going to face Texas State and Gary Patterson,
I would have laughed in your face.
Because Clay Helton, I think, was coming off of a Rose Bowl win at that point.
And 5 years ago, if you would have told me that the Cajuns would be ranked, I would have once again laughed in your face. Mm-hmm. Because 5 years ago, do you want to know what our record was?
5-7.
Yeah, 6-7, actually.
Oh, okay.
It was 6-6. We got into the New Orleans Bowl because the Sun Belt was horrible back then. Uh-huh. And yeah, we lost to Southern Miss in the bowl game to finish 6-7.
Yeah. But yeah,
and that was a year removed from being 4-8.
Yeah. If I went in a time machine and told you that those were the two coaches taking over those teams,
I would have fallen over from laughter. Yeah, no, never in my wild. If you would have told me 5 years ago that the Sun Belt would be a better conference than Conference USA, I would have laughed at you.
If I had told you Texas and Oklahoma were going to the SEC, you would have laughed.
Yep, never would have dreamed it. Dude, do you know how wild Texas and LSU as a division game, not just a conference game, a division game, is going to be?
Does Texas get to bring the monkey to Death Valley?
God, I hope so. God, I hope so. That's the one time in my life that I will scream hook 'em horns. One time in my life that I will say hook 'em horns. Let's
pole
see.
Assassin.
Did we just talk about Monroe and Texas State?
Yeah. I said that I'll take ULM plus 3.5. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm taking the Warhawks. Depending on the injury news for Chandler Rogers.
See, I don't know, though, because Tyler Vitt played against you guys, and he was absolutely awful, so I don't know if I can...
Except for with his feet.
I know, but if he plays, if he starts again, I don't know that I can pick Texas State.
Good point. South Alabama, Troy.
This is a good game.
It's going to be a good game. It is. They are playing in Troy, and it is Troy minus 4.
I think I'll take South Alabama plus 4. I think this could be a field goal game. Outside of that one weird game where they let up 41 to UL Monroe, I mean, they've been solid. Actually, you know what? I wouldn't touch the spread. Give me the under of 48. I could see both of these defenses play. I could see this being 17-14.
Yep.
As a final score.
Yep, that's fair. And the last game, Coastal Georgia Southern. They will be at Paulson.
Mm-hmm.
Coastal minus 20.
Give me the 20. You could have set this line at any number, and I would have been yep.
No hope.
Nope.
No hope.
None.
Yeah. Shots minus 20. No.
At least Justin Tomlin will get to see what a real quarterback looks like.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm just so sick of seeing him every Saturday.
We're gonna start a segment, and we're gonna call it Brian Stone, the Georgia Southern apathist.
Yeah.
So we're gonna call it.
But here's the thing. Late in the season, I did this in 2016.
Do you get apathetic every year?
No. I was fully all in last year when they won 8 games. 2017 or 2016, I can't remember, whatever other season they won two games, I did this where I'm just being brutally honest, like how I feel, like they're just floundering. And so fans of other teams started getting mad when I would write previews that were like App did this, had some fans that got mad about this. I wrote a preview that was like damning Georgia Southern, was like, right, they have no shot in the world. They're going to get smoked. Final score 42-14. And then App fans came back at me and were like, that's just sour grapes. And I was like, why? Because I don't think we're going to win.
Right.
Like,
right,
would you rather write a thing that's like, we're going to upset you guys? Like, yeah. So I think what it is they get mad because they can't talk smack because I'm already like, right, I agree with you.
Right, right.
And that makes people more pissed off. It's like when they're like, your team sucks. And I'm like, yeah,
we know.
They're like, your quarterback sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. We know.
Yeah.
Oh man. Brian, as we wrap this up, man, tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Give me the over in the Coastal Georgia Southern game too. You can find me on Twitter at Watch the Stone. There is a chance that Coastal could hit the over by themselves. The over 60.5, they could score 63.
Oh.
It depends on how bad Jamie Chadwell wants to punish this school for passing on him multiple times in the hiring process.
Yeah.
Because he could put the foot on the face.
Say, run it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And good, he wouldn't point, be wrong in doing it. No. I mean, everybody who made those decisions is already out the door. But yeah, if he just wanted to like smush their faces in just to prove how wrong they were about it, he wouldn't be wrong. And also, he could do it.
You could find me on social media at Miguez Matt, my Louisiana Georgia State preview that I'm tag teaming with our Georgia State writer Zeke Palermo will be available either tomorrow afternoon or Thursday morning. So stay tuned for that. Brian, you have a timeline for when your Georgia Southern preview will be available?
All my previews typically post Friday around like 10 a.m.
Must be nice to play on Saturdays consistently.
Well, when you're not a primetime team, yeah, it is. I will be hosting once again a Georgia Southern vent session on Twitter Spaces after the game, where people can join me in just talking about anything they want to talk about, but mostly about just what shambles this team is in.
Oh my God. I don't even know what to say. I would tell you this. I would be joining that vent session if I didn't have a concert to go to Saturday night. But yeah, dude, 75 people joined your last one.
Yeah, it was crazy. I had nuts. So many people. So when people join too, there's a default setting where it makes this pop noise.
Right.
And there was a point where I was talking. Someone asked me, they were like, who's your top three head coaches you want right now? And honestly, I couldn't come up with names because people were joining and leaving so fast that the popping noise was right, like
was just so much
happening so fast right, that I was right. Like, I don't know. I don't know any coaches right now.
That's so funny. For Brian Stone and Matt Miguez, this has been another edition of the Underdog Dynasty Sunbelt Podcast.